Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye. I'm going to offer you three quick thoughts, okay? I can tell when my children were teenagers when they had gotten enough of the conversation. I'd be talking to them, then all of a sudden I would hear a multi-syllabic word, which would be whatever. You guys ever heard that? Do teenagers still talk that way? So, whatever. It just sort of meant, Dad, I think I got it. Can we move on? Pretty please. Second point. I'm going to date myself with this. There was a comedian, black comedian in the 1960s, 1970s, died in 1994, 1999, somewhere around there, named Flip Wilson. What was Flip Wilson's favorite line? Jack? The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it, all right? He was the pastor of a church called the Church of What's Happening Now, right? Remember that? Church of What's Happening Now. Now, in reality, Flip was playing a less than honorable character, okay? This idea of what's happening now, the church of what's happening now, it may have been a really good idea, but Reverend Leroy, that was his name, right? Reverend Leroy, does that sound right? That's what I wrote down. Reverend Leroy, he was a little problematic. I mean, he's going to take a two-week vacation in Detroit, but he's really going to spend 12 days in Las Vegas. And even in 1970, Las Vegas was just like it is now. What happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. So I'm going to try to be a little bit of what's happening now by do my iPad here and do the sermon with my notes from the iPad. What do you think? Is that the church of what's happening now?
Right on.
Alan says right on. Now, here's part of the dilemma we have is the church of what's happening now in the comedy was not what's happening now. And I want to flip that. I want to take that concept and I want to endorse that. And I want to sort of have a little fun with that one. Now, in Methodism, being a bishop is a big deal. We have like 45 bishops in the whole United States. 8 million Methodists, 45 bishops. Being a bishop's a big deal. And we have a retired bishop who is still an instructor, professor at Duke University, named Will Willimon, and he was the bishop over North Alabama. Served there for 8 years as the bishop of that particular Methodist conference, and somebody sat there and said, was talking to him one day about how could he compare being at Duke versus being in North Alabama, and Bishop Willimon says, I much prefer being at Duke. Oh, really? Why do you prefer being at Duke? Well, Duke has an admissions committee. All right, an admissions committee. What are you talking about? Well, even though people may be brought into Duke whose skin color may look different than me, nonetheless, the admissions committee is in charge of making sure that people who show up at Duke, the faculty who shows up at Duke, looks and thinks and acts like me. We're all sort of rough conformists there with this. He said, now, as opposed to the Methodist churches in North Alabama, there's apparently no admissions committee. And everybody who gets to be there, everybody who's there, gets to speak their own mind. Can you guys relate to that? So, whatever, the church of what's happening now and the idea of an admissions committee. Let's focus on those for a few seconds. I want to start off with sort of a reflection of what was the critical element of that passage that Grace just read. It wasn't Pamphylia and Phrygia and Cyrene and Crete and all of those words there. It was, what does this mean? What does this mean? And I would say to you, it means in part that the world we live in is just a little bit messy. The world we live in is just a tad messy. But we can be relatively certain of what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that the world that Peter lived in issued a ringing endorsement of Peter and his leadership. What was going on here was a negative reflection of the religious authorities of Jesus' day. There was it's people like you walking in and saying, "Dennis, I don't like the way the church is operating." We never have that conversation ever here at Hilltop. Adam Hamilton, I mentioned a few minutes ago, is pastor of a very large church in Kansas City. It's in Kansas. And Mike Slaughter is the pastor of another Methodist church, very large Methodist church in Ohio. This week came out with a video that they were doing, talk for about 4 or 5 minutes about what's going on with the church, in particular in relation to what's going on with young adults and youth. The Pew Institute released a study about 2 weeks ago that has the church shook. It's really anxious over the results here. And what the results are is the last 6 or 7 years, we've gone from about 78% of people in the country saying that they're people of faith, they're Christians, to right at 70% of the country. And the big increase has been people that are none, people that have said, "I reject all religion. There is no religion out there for me." And Hamilton and Slaughter were asking the question back and forth with each other of what's gone wrong? What's gone wrong with the church? Why is there a problem out there? What's happening that leads people to believe that the church just doesn't quite get it? And they seem to agree that with young adults and youth, the church is seen as a place where we're intensely homophobic. We reject homosexuals, but they're not welcome in our midst. We're a church of where people are seen to be highly judgmental. And we're seen as a place where people can flap their gums and talk about being people of Jesus and following Jesus, but they don't live it. They don't live it out. Adam Hamilton at the workshop I was just at 2 weeks ago basically stood up and said, "Here's the most important thing to help you with preaching. Most important thing. The most important sermon you preach will be the one you live. The most important sermon you preach will be the one you live." I don't know about you, when I read in papers about pastors that fall and have problems with sexual relationships outside of marriage, it's disappointing. It's very disappointing. And that would suggest to me that they are talking the talk, but not walking the walk. So, but the dilemma we've got is the fact that this Jesus that we talk about, this Jesus Christ that we talk about, this was a guy who took on the religious authorities of his day. And what was his objection with what they were doing? In many cases, it was the fact that they were flapping their gums, they were talking the talk, but they weren't walking the walk. Now, the word hypocrite comes to us out of Greek, and what it means is actor. It's someone who's an actor, someone who acts like they're a follower of God in the world, but they're not literally followers of God because they don't do it. Peter, in this passage here, is reminding people that we need to get ourselves refocused on what it is that's what being in relationship with God really means. What does this mean? We're so often the church where we just sort of tolerate people, and we don't encourage people to come back and argue with us. They finally just get to a place where they just go, "Whatever," and they leave. We're so often the church of what's not happening now. And what I really mean by that is not so much about whether or not you use an iPad for the notes on your sermon, but we're a church that sometimes gets into trouble with how it is that we are in relationship with the world around us. We get ourselves so inwardly focused that we forget who this Jesus guy was. This Jesus guy was somebody who called us out of the world in order to engage the people on the edge of the world. What got Jesus executed? Well, for one thing, he sat down and had meals with prostitutes and tax collectors. That got him in trouble. That got him in big time trouble. And I would say to those of you that are joining the church today, continue to keep moving us in that direction. Remind us that that is who the church is supposed to be. We don't have any missions committee. The church is a messy place. We don't want people here that are all like-minded. So we may have some conversations later, and when we may come up in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, and you may come back and you want to argue with me. Those of you that are joining the church today and those of you that have been part of this church for a while, I want you to feel empowered. I want you to feel empowered to remind me, remind the church leadership that we don't have an admissions committee. And that admissions committee would keep all of the jagged edges out. We want the people here that will challenge us and remind us of who Jesus was, who Jesus is, and who Jesus shall be in our lives. That Holy Spirit poured out in such a way. I would say to you that when Hilltop says all are welcome, we don't mean all are welcome except. We mean all. All means all. All are welcome. Amen. Peter rejects the idea of whatever. Peter rejects the idea of letting what is happening now be okay, because it wasn't okay. Peter rejects the idea of having an admissions committee control access to the temple. Peter himself was not part of the religious authorities of his day. He was somebody who had no status, no nice credentials on his arm saying he had a doctorate, no robe and stole. He was somebody like you. And he challenged the church. Peter was anything but cool. Anything but cool. In fact, he's on fire for God. But he gets into a long line of not so cool people who catch on fire for God. Rebecca wasn't cool. She made sure the normal admissions committee of who was going to get the inheritance was rejected, and she did it on behalf of Jacob. Moses wasn't cool. He annoyed the heck out of the Pharaoh and said, I reject the world that you would have us live in. Miriam wasn't cool. She had the nerve, the courage to challenge Moses when he was leading the Israelites. Samuel wasn't cool. He annoyed the heck out of Saul. Nathan wasn't cool. He challenged David and said, David, you are a sinner. He spoke the truth to power. Jesus wasn't cool. He annoyed the heck out of the religious authorities of his own day and got him executed. Martin Luther wasn't cool. He was willing to challenge Rome. John Wesley wasn't cool. He was willing to challenge the power of the church of his own day. Those of you that are not Methodists here, John Wesley was the founder of Methodism in England in the 18th century. Martin Luther King wasn't cool. Mother Teresa wasn't cool. But they rejected the idea of whatever. They said, we want to be a church of what's happening now. And part of what's happening now means we leave our building, we go outside of our building, and we talk to those outside of our building, and we sit down at dinner over meals with the contemporary prostitutes and the contemporary tax collectors of our own day. I don't know about you, but I want the church to be on fire. I want the church to call out and live out its charge in the world and reject the idea of whatever. To be what's happening now. And what is it that the church is called to do? The church is called to transform and change the world. To say to the world that the status quo is unacceptable. It is unacceptable to us. Peter's voice at Pentecost is the rejection of being cool. Peter's voice stands in a long line of those who speak prophetically. Now, we get sometimes this idea that speaking prophetically is about forecasting the future. That is not what's meant most of the time in the Bible. Most of the time, what's meant in the Bible, we say people speak prophetically. They speak with prophecy. They challenge. They're willing to take on the world and say, the world, the status quo that we have here is rejected. I reject it. Thus saith the Lord. Are you remember those on the margins of society? How does your world take care of children? How does your world take care of widows? How does your world take care of those who can't take care of themselves? That's the challenge that's out there. John Wesley did that in England in the 18th century. And there are writers who said that the reason that the French had their horrible revolution in the later part of the 18th century was because they did not have a John Wesley. They did not have a John Wesley who would challenge the leadership of his day. England is England partially because of John Wesley. In England, to be a John Wesley follower, you had to register as a nonconformist. Isn't that cool? You'd be right there. You'd be right there in that world because you have to register as a nonconformist. I vote yes on that. I'd like to register to go be a nonconformist on behalf of God and the world. Cool. I'm hoping the young people that are joined today will be nonconformists. They will remind us of what Jesus calls us to say, calls us to be in this world, which is more than walking around with an iPad. Jesus reminds us that we're called to be God's people in God's world. And it might get us a little bit of trouble. But I would encourage us not to say, whatever, whenever the church loses its way. I would encourage us to remember that the church should be a place of what's happening now. Not a place to make fun of, but a place of really what's happening now. What's happening now should be concern of being like Christ in the world. Not only talking the talk, but walking the walk. And finally, when the church wants to create an admissions committee, that we reject that idea. We like this messiness. This messiness is of value to us. It brings us to a far, far better place. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.